You may think of scurvy as a disease that affected pirates on the high seas generations ago. It's a product of a bygone era, right? Well, you're in for a surprise. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to tell you about modern-day vitamin C deficiency after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
A 65-year-old woman in Canada was recently diagnosed with a deficiency disease known as scurvy. The body can't produce vitamin C on its own, but most people get plenty through citrus and other produce like potatoes and tomatoes. But this poor lady lived alone and ate mainly tuna fish, canned soups, and white bread, over time racking up a serious vitamin C deficiency. She may not be alone. Studies show up to 5% of the U.S. eat a diet that may put them at risk of scurvy, too. So listen up, landlubbers. Make sure to drink plenty of OJ and eat your veggies. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Happy Good News Friday. Catherine Albrecht here. So glad to be with you as we head into the weekend together. I've got, well, in the past I've always done, well, I hadn't always, but often did a Good News Friday segment on Friday just to set us, set a different tone to end the week than some of the unfortunately negative stuff we have to deal with. And I have a little bit of good news, but I'm going to kind of mix both, a little good and a little bad here. So the good news is that 2026 has already turned out, or is turning out, has begun to be a year when things are moving quickly. And if you know my personal story, back in the day, I did lots of radio and advocacy and traveled around and wrote books and did things. And then I went through a 7-year desert of not doing anything, not even owning a computer, not even using a computer, not writing anything. Unless it was a grocery list, that was pretty much it. So I went through 7 years of being reshaped, I guess, kind of like a caterpillar turns into liquid mush and then gets reshaped in a chrysalis. So I went through my 7 years of that. I came out of it in September of 2024 and was told, get your radio show back and declare my name to the nations by the Lord as I was fasting. So I was obedient, and I mention that I say I was obedient because the Lord will tell you the same thing if you ask him. If you say, here I am, use me, reporting for duty, I'm available, he will tell you a thing that you're supposed to do. You'll just know it, you'll feel it, it'll be unmistakable, and that's what you're supposed to do. So that happened to me in 2024, and then he, as he will do with all of us when he gives us a task to do, he makes it happen. He opens the doors. He provides the resources. He provides serendipitous opportunities that we don't expect. He has us meet people out of the blue that
help us along the journey. It's really an extraordinary thing to report for duty and then sit back and watch what he does. And really, all he requires from us is that one little word, yes. Pastor Anthony he did a sermon on this before Christmas that was really beautiful and I think illustrated this perfectly. And he was talking about when the angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, you are favored among women, and here is your task to give birth to Jesus Christ, to give birth to Messiah. And even though there were a lot of question marks in her head, like, how is this even going to happen? I'm a virgin. How is this even going to happen? She nevertheless said the one magic word. It's not even a magic word, but the one word that unlocks the key, or the key that unlocks the whole mission, and that is the word yes, and that's it. And from that point forward, Mary didn't really have to do much other than what the Lord led her to do. And so that's the case for all of us. We are pretty much, well, we live in free will space. This is my latest term for the world, is it's free will space, meaning this is a place where God won't coerce us or make us do anything at all. We have entirely complete free will to do whatever we want here in free will space. We can use our free will to follow him. We can use our free will to become better people. We can use our free will to commit murder. We can use our free will in a whole ton of different ways. This is free will space. So one of the challenges of a person living in free will space is realizing that you are not in a very good position in terms of your wisdom and your ability and your insight, and above all, something you have no control over, which is your knowledge of the future. You are not in a position to exercise your free will when it comes to all of these decisions. Of course, we do. We all do. And then we wonder why we feel so insecure and ridden with anxiety all the time because we don't know what's going to happen next. How could we? But when you give up, so the big task, I think the main task for those of us living in free will space is surrendering our free will, knowing that we're putting it in hands that are safer than ours. And the lifting of the anxiety is tremendous because we still don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's not like God said, all right, Catherine, here's your job, and let me tell you all the details and every single thing that's going to happen on the road. No, that didn't happen whatsoever. I have no idea what's going to happen. Every once in a while, he'll tell me. Like he said, I felt in my spirit, 2025 is preparation, 2026, hold on to your seat, it's going to go fast. All right, so I felt that, but do I know what that looks like? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. It's, to me, that's exciting. Somebody else might go, what? I hate that. I don't want it to go really fast. But I'm like, cool, bring it. Because for me, the boring, like, preparation time and the waiting and the careful, you know, all of the stuff that had to be put in place was a little bit challenging for me. It was. So when I heard you're going to go fast, it was, you know, hang on, you know, persevere through this 2025 because 2026 is going to fly. And I'm like, okay, good. But for someone who doesn't want things to fly, that's not what he's going to give you. It's not. When you say yes to him, you get the thing you really want. He uses the people that he has built to do the thing he built them to do. And that's the really good news. He's not going to take a person who is a quiet librarian and really wants to focus on writing her book of poetry and focus on caring for her garden, and out of the blue go, okay, you reported to me for duty. I want you to be a radio host and declare my name to the nations. That person's going to go, oh, right? But they'll be obedient if they've said they will be obedient, but that's not what God does. So that's my point. If you take a risk and you say, here I am reporting for duty, he will give you, if you are a poetic gardener, he will give you a beautiful task that exactly fits your temperament because he gave you that temperament. So I knew that 2026 was going to be a really fun year, because for me, hang on to your seat, it's going to be a wild ride. You are going to be so busy, you're not going to know what hit you. I'm like, oh my gosh, where do I sign up? Okay. So it's starting this week. Let me tell you a couple of the amazing things that happened. Well, first, I got to give you the really, really good news for Good News Friday. So regular listeners know that I was appointed in March to be a board member on the Board of Community Mental Health, our county community mental health authority. Now, this is a state, statewide, there are multiple county mental health organizations. Each county has one. And each one is governed by a 12-member board of directors who oversees the CEO and the running of the community mental health agency. Now, we're talking like a $150 million budget. This is a big organization. It employs a ton of people. It serves many, many people all across the county in rural areas, in semi-urban, and we don't have really urban areas here, but as close as you get. It's a big responsibility to be on the board. And I have been on that board since March. And are you ready for the really good news? Talk about God going, okay, it's going to fly. In November, one of the 12 board members had to step down because she had a family member she needs to care for. So when she stepped down, that created a vacancy on the Community Mental Health or CMH board in our county. And there was a meeting in December to fill it, but there was not a quorum. And by fill it, this means the county commissioners, and there are seven of them, they vote to fill these vacancies. So the way they have oversight over community mental health is by appointing the board members who do their due diligence on behalf of the commissioners and oversee this big agency. So in December, they held a meeting to fill that position, and there were, I believe, three people who applied. And one of them was our own Crossroads Community Church pastor, Anthony Farrell, who has been on the program before, and I talk about him all the time. He's the one who gave the beautiful sermon before Christmas about Mary saying yes. And the Lord said to him, just like me, get on that board. And he said yes. All right, well, in December, there was no vote because there was no quorum. So they had the meeting and almost got there. Well, last night, they actually had the meeting. And guess what? He's my new fellow board member. All right, stay tuned. Talk about good news.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Back. It's true. It's so true. God's goodness and mercy surpasses anything we can imagine, and it is such a blessing to be surrounded by His goodness and mercy. Well, yesterday we did a rebroadcast because I was at the St. Clair County Commission, Commissioners meeting, Board of Commissioner meeting, and praying with all my might that the coin flip that was spinning in the air about who would be appointed as the replacement for the board member who stepped down would actually be Pastor Anthony. He got up and gave a, we each had 3 minutes, so it was 3 minutes for each member of the public and also for the candidates. He got up and gave a, just a really good, a really good 3 minutes. He got up and talked about how he had gone from being a pastor to getting involved in politics in our local community when that awful data center had come to town. And people who were listening to the show about a year ago know that we had a big fight against that data center. This was a $500 million, a half-billion-dollar project that was going to come in right next door to the church and an elementary school next to that and bring the horrors of a data center, which I'd never heard of, knew nothing about, but I did a bunch of research and I found out that these things are very destructive to the communities they operate in. They're loud, they take up all the power, they're not good neighbors, and they only create about 10 jobs. So it's not like you're bringing in industry that's contributing to your community, because it really just isn't. So anyway, he was explaining in his 3 minutes that he had how he got involved through that. And of course, that's how he and I began working together on political things. And then talked about something that I think is so cool, and this is going to be a big part of my 2026. And that is the fact that in Michigan state law, there is a provision in the mental health code that requires that anyone receiving care through a community mental health, and this may be the case in your state too, so look it up, requires that they be given access to spiritual care of the same nature of private counseling. So that's literally written into the Michigan state health code. So he got up and he talked about that. And it was interesting because several other people got up afterwards to speak against that and said, well, I don't want religion mixing in with mental health care. And then it was my turn to speak. And I got up and I said, surprise, surprise, not only is religion not compatible, not only is religion not incompatible, I said a little better, by the way, when I was standing at the podium, but not only is religion not incompatible with mental health, it is the hottest topic out there right now in academia around mental health. There are conferences. There's a conference in March at Harvard. There's a conference at Duke in August, a five-day conference. They are bringing together experts from academia, from practice, from all over the country, all over the world, to talk about this hot, hot, hot topic. And within academia, it has trends, it has cycles. It goes, you know, they'll get really excited about one thing, really excited about another thing, and they'll have lots of conferences and journal articles and publications on it, and then it moves on to the next topic. Well, for right now, at this moment in history, the hot topic is religion and mental health and religion and physical health. It is the hot topic. Look it up. It will blow your mind. Now, I didn't know any of this. Despite being an academic and having a doctorate from Harvard in psychology, that was not a topic when I was getting my doctorate. We did not talk about religion, and to the extent anyone did talk about it, you know, people backed away and said, no, we don't talk about those things here. That's not scientific. What has changed since I received my degree, I don't know, 20 years ago now, what has changed dramatically is that now not only can it be discussed, but they're doing courses on it. Go to any doctoral program in the Ivy League, and you will see that there are courses on this, that there are departments dedicating themselves to this. This is a big topic. And so when Pastor Anthony got up and said, here, it's in the law, and he actually said something really interesting. He said, there's a difference between power and authority. And I like this. I'll share it with you because I just now thought of it and thought, wow, I'm going to, yeah. So on a football field, you've got 350-pound, you know, big guys. I don't know, 250 pounds. Maybe some of them are 350 pounds. You got big, big, big guys, right? And they're very strong and they have a lot of power. And yet, who is it who can make them move around and move them back 50 yards or move them, you know, I'm not a football person, but who is it who has the power to determine what happens to them. It's the little 5'6" guy with the black and white striped uniform and a whistle in his mouth, who is the referee. And he can do that not because he's more powerful than them, but because he has more authority than them. And that authority gives him a different kind of power. So he was talking about the difference between legal authority and authority of really any stripe that is able to move powerful people, powerful institutions, powerful situations, and cause them to have to submit and do things in a very certain way. And that, by the way, while I'm just talking about power and authority, that authority is what we have in Jesus Christ over Satan. Because in writing my book, this is, I'm getting off topic a little bit, but I love this topic of power and authority because it's so important. In writing my book, I have a chapter in there, and for people who are just listening to the show for the first time, I'm writing a book about how technology was humanity's deal with the devil, how the devil literally offered humanity the ability to obtain the powers of God in exchange for allowing him to run the world, not God, in exchange for voting him sovereign. So by eating the forbidden fruit, we democratically elected the devil to be in charge, and he has enslaved humanity ever since to build technology, because that was the deal. You will be as powerful as God if you eat this fruit. You won't surely die. You will develop you'll have the wisdom and the knowledge and the abilities of God. And that's what we've been doing ever since, is building all of these ways to have power, right? The power to create life, the power to destroy through atomic bombs, the power to move mountains, the power to whatever. All right. So the authority piece comes up. I have a chapter in my book, which is, what are the rules? What are the rules of that? Because God is still way more powerful than the devil. But we, human beings, have given the devil authority here on earth. We gave him authority because, I say this often, he did not come into earth and take control and have a war and just conquer us and take control. He was democratically elected by Adam and Eve in the garden. They had a choice to make. They could either obey God and live under him, or they could disobey God, eat the forbidden fruit to obtain the powers of God. And by so doing, they elected Satan to be in charge of the world. But what are the rules? Well, Satan has the authority to operate in our world to a certain extent, because God gave it to him, because we're in free will space, right? He gave us free will to elect the devil, but God has still all the power. With a single word, I've talked about this before, with a single word, he will fell him. I think that's in one of our Christmas carols. So I have to remember where that comes from. But anyway, we know from the Bible that with one word, this will all come to an end. It's not as though it's some big battle and the devil's just as strong as God. No, with one single word, it's going to come to an end. The only reason God is allowing the devil to do what he's doing is because we chose it, and he gave us the free will to do that. And he is not a tyrant. God's not a tyrant. He's not going to say, no, you can't have what you wanted. You can't have what you chose. He is simply standing by until we realize that the choice we made was really a bad choice. And some of us have figured it out. So those of us who have figured it out have the option, thanks to Jesus Christ, to relinquish our citizenship in that whole system and to take on a different citizenship through God. Okay, well, meanwhile, talking about power and authority, the authority, to some extent, is the devil's because we elected him, but there's an authority over him, and that is God. We see this in Job. We see this actually through various places in the Bible, where God has total authority over the devil. And what I've learned as I've sort of walked through my journey of deliverance and understanding how these things operate, what I've learned is that God's authority over Satan is complete. There is nothing ever that Satan does without permission from God. Now, that doesn't mean that all the bad things happening in the world, God's going, yeah, go ahead. No, it means that there are certain rules, and Satan must abide by those rules. And actually, what I had planned to talk about this hour, and I hope I get to it, is what it means when we consult fortune tellers, when we engage in things that are forbidden, when we practice witchcraft, or when we do other things that are forbidden to us. What does that mean in terms of God and Satan? And what does it mean when we don't forgive someone? What does it mean when we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts towards another person? Well, in both cases, we know from Scripture, and I know from experience, that in both cases, those doing those things, either engaging in those occult practices, even in passing, even if you didn't know it was bad, even if you were just a kid, doesn't matter if you did it, or if you are unforgiving towards someone, and there's a whole list of these, but I'm just going to go with those two, then essentially what you have done unwittingly is you have created a permission slip, a legal, almost like a legal document in Satan's hand that he can wave around and say, I have the right to do this. I have the authority, because those are the rules. So a big part of living in this world is figuring out what are the rules, figuring out who has authority, figuring out how you can take the upper hand in the authority equation by stepping into the authority of Jesus Christ. And that gives you authority over the devil. It's pretty amazing. So the devil probably has more power than we do. God has more power than the devil. But all of it, at the end of the day, comes down to authority. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, I'll tell you about Pastor Anthony getting on the board after this. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. But I have called you friends. I have called you friends.
Hey, I'm back. So, yeah, all you really have to do is say yes. And the saying yes for Mary, of course, changed the course of her life pretty dramatically and pretty substantially and pretty wonderfully. She is revered among women. Blessed art thou among women. And we still talk about her today. So saying yes to God means having him give you the desires of your heart, giving you meaningful work. It is a deception. It's a lie to think that work is something we're supposed to shirk and escape and get away from and have more leisure time. In fact, having lots of leisure time leads to complete misery. Some of the most miserable people I know are retired people who no longer have a purpose and have not replaced their jobs with meaningful activity. It's a miserable thing. We all know people who spend their times playing video games in, you know, day and night and have no relationships and no job and no life. And somehow some family member is meeting their physical needs, but they're not happy. Having no work is an awful thing. In fact, this idea of labor saving through artificial intelligence coming in and saving all of our, keeping us from having to do work. Nothing could be more miserable. What are we going to do with our free time? Scroll TikTok? It's awful. It's so deceptive to believe that work is awful, to believe that work is something to be cleverly avoided. It's just not true. We all want to cleverly avoid work that's really awful and unfun and unpleasant and backbreaking, but we shouldn't avoid the concept of work overall. We should just find work that fits who we are and who God made us to be and the work He made us to do. Okay. So when I said yes to God, He rewarded me to go from doing a lot of things I kind of didn't really enjoy. And I still have to chop wood and carry water. That's, I think, the Buddhist term for no matter how enlightened you are, you still have to deal with the basic necessities of life. So I still have to wash dishes and I still have to do those kinds of things, take out the garbage. And that's not always fun. But the work, the thing that I fill my time with, that I fill my days with, that I am charged with doing is so fun. It's so wonderful. And that's what happened with Mary. That's what happened with me. And as I've watched Pastor Anthony go from pastoring a church to saying yes to the Lord, I am just watching how he is being used. I'm watching how many of the people that I love and am close to, how their lives just take off and start flying when they say yes to the Lord. It's an amazing, incredible thing. All right, Jack, who is running the board today at KHNC, has queued up a 3-minute talk by Pastor Anthony. This is the his statement to be appointed to the Community Board of Mental Health that was delivered last night at our Board of Commissioners meeting. This meeting was hours long. There were, I don't know, like 30 community members who got up to speak. It was very long. But somewhere in the middle, his name came up, and let's go ahead and play it. We can hear Pastor Anthony Farrell of Crossroads Community Church putting in his making a statement for why he should be appointed. There we go, not elected, appointed to the Community Mental Health Board that I sit on. Here we go.
Anthony, followed by Jim Frank.
Members of the St. Clair County Board, Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. My name is Anthony Farrell, pastor, and I'm seeking the appointment to the St. Clair County Community Health Authority Board. As a pastor and as a hospice chaplain for decades, since 1994, I believe I bring a unique perspective of compassion, empathy, and deep commitment to serving everyone in our community, regardless of faith or background. In my daily roles, I serve on the front lines as a listener and a counselor. I offer emotional, spiritual support that fosters hope, resilience, dignity, and recovery, directly aligning with the core mission of the Community Mental Health mission statement, which is providing opportunities for health, wellness, and connection. I've served individuals in many faiths or no faith at all, always meeting them where they are with respect and tailored support. I speak from personal experience too, having battled and overcome depression myself, which has deepened my understanding for the marginalized of those our society too often overlooks. A key reason I'm seeking this appointment is to strengthen the integration of faith-based options in our mental health services as explicitly protected under the Michigan Compiled Law Section 330.1704 of the Mental Health Code. This section guarantees that recipients have the right to treatment by spiritual means when requested. Acknowledging that true healing can include or does include faith, prayer, and spiritual guidance alongside of clinical care. Yet in practice, those options are sometimes overlooked, creating a gap in truly inclusive, person-centered care that fully supports health and wellness and connection. My appointment would help ensure the vital legal right is actively upheld and woven into our services while representing the people of faith and religious backgrounds, one of our most overlooked communities. The commitment to compassion, the whole person of centered care, echoes the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you for your consideration.
Woohoo. All right. Yes, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Burdened. So that is, I think it came as news to the members of the commission, our commissioners, and I think it came as a surprise to the probably over 100 people assembled in the room that this is in our law. This is in our law. It came as a huge surprise to me when I got appointed to that board. I got appointed on a Thursday night, just like last night was Thursday night. It's when the board meets. And the next morning, I sat down at my computer again, just as I always do. Here I am, Lord, use me. And I suddenly thought, I'm going to look up whether this is in law. And I found that we have a Michigan State Office of Faith Engagement. I found that in 2002, under the Bush administration, there had been literally billions of dollars poured into not only mental health and physical health, but into like veteran services and housing services and the Department of Education in state after state. And when I say billions, I mean literally billions of dollars to support initiatives to create linkages between churches, religion, and we're not talking random spirituality, religion, and all of these offices, and they had been measuring the outcomes, which were phenomenal. They were amazing. And then, of course, we changed administrations, and all of those things fell by the wayside, and I did not even know about them, because in 2002, I wasn't doing this work. So these are all the things that I really felt led to look up on Friday, and the Friday after I was elected. And I've since found that not only is it in our law, going all the way back to 2002 when the Michigan Office of Faith Engagement was created, but it's the hot topic. So when I did a show, and you can find it in my archives, with Dr. Harold Koenig, I have no idea how this superstar, he's one of the top academics in the world, came on my show. And, you know, I do a pretty good show, but this guy must have no free time. He is the busiest man. He has been working for close to 40 years. Preaching to the wind, spitting in the wind, getting nowhere with his message that mental health care and physical health care made a mistake when we removed God, when we removed religion in the 1960s and 70s. And we're paying the price for it. We're paying the price for it in all different ways that affect our health and our mental health. Well, sure enough, we had him on the show, and you should listen to the interview if you have not yet heard it, because it's astonishing. It's really good. He has written like 60 books and hundreds of articles and run conferences and taught at the top universities and been a professor. I mean, he's just a genius of a man. But he said yes to God at some point, and then 20, 30 years went by, and he just didn't make the headway he was looking to make. And yet, nevertheless, he persevered. And a breakthrough came through a study of the structure of the brain, actually, MRI structure, now that we can actually look at that. And there were differences found, structural differences, important structural differences in the health and well-being of brains between people who practice religion and people who do not. Independently of anything else, independently of race, of income, of age, of community, of language spoken, of ethnicity, of job, of education, independently of all of it, they controlled for everything. And it came down to the fact that the brain structures that they were looking at were robust and healthy in people who practice religion, and less robust, smaller, and kind of atrophied in people who did not. And Dr. Harold Koenig, this was not his research, but this was inspired by his research. And from that moment, when society finally, academia, scientists finally said, wait a minute, this isn't just woo-woo hand-waving. You've got actual physical evidence of physical well-being versus physical illness. This is extraordinary. And so from that point, it has taken off and exploded. And I'm so glad that Dr. Koenig is here to see it. I'm so glad that he did not spend his life and go to be with the Lord without ever seeing his work bear fruit. But it has borne fruit beyond imagining. And it's just now trickling down to places like St. Clair County. And it's trickling down through people like me and through people like Pastor Anthony. Because the members, the 12 members on that board, I can tell you not one of them knows this. Not one of them has talked about it. Not one of them has lifted a finger to do anything about it. And so it is new blood. It is people coming in who know this research. It is faithful followers of the Lord who can now step in and say, why, yes, I am a religious person. And you know what? That's a good thing. Not, I don't have to hide it. I don't have to be embarrassed of it.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
Want to comment on today's subject? You can. Call or text Catherine right now at 877-536-1360. That's 877-536-1360.
Do you hate Disney as much as I do? Don't be a wokey. Listen to 1360 KHNC or go to 1360KHNC.com.
I'm back. I couldn't find it. I was doing my level best to find the moment that Pastor Anthony was announced having been appointed. It is, you blink and you miss it. I've been over this little section of video, which is like 3 hours long. I've been over and over and over and over, and I keep catching it, and then I go back and missed it. But it was if you could have seen the moments leading up to it, they're counting the ballots, they're putting in the ballots, they're passing the papers back and forth. And I am in towards the back, sitting next to some very prayerful friends. And I am just praying my guts out. I mean, I am just praying and praying and praying and praying. And hoping, praying, asking the Lord that the coin flip would be in favor of Pastor Anthony, that the coin flipping in the air, and those of you who know my quantum prayer, have listened to my quantum prayer shows, know what I'm talking about, that in that moment, before the verdict was read, before the papers were unfolded and the appointment was known, we didn't know. It could have gone either way. And the quantum prayer, of course, part of that is that just like Schrodinger's cat, there's a box. When you open the box, it will take shape. But before you open the box is just a cloud of cat. And when you open the box, the cat will either be alive or not alive. So same with this vote. Before this vote was read, there was a cloud of vote. There was a cloud of Pastor Anthony wins, Pastor Anthony loses, and it was all floating around. And we were all praying with all our might that it would, that the coin flip would land on Pastor Anthony. The prayer, of course, has, it sounds like this, in the same way that Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me, Lord." Nevertheless, this was on the night he was, the night before he was betrayed and murdered, or right before he was betrayed and the day before he was killed. He said, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, my will be done, not my will, but yours be done, Father." And so that's my prayer. I model all my prayers after that, which is, let this, please, let this be that Pastor Anthony gets appointed. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And when you pray that, it's just like saying yes. When you pray that, the security and safety of knowing that God, that you've handed over control of it, concern about it to him, then you know, even if you don't get the outcome you want, that it was what God wanted and that it's going to be okay. He'll walk with you through it. So he's got a bigger plan, a better plan. So even had Pastor Anthony not been appointed, I would have been at peace. And the reason is because I prayed that your will be done, not mine. And so when I pray, I know his will be done. Okay, with no further ado, I'm just going to play the couple of minutes that I spoke. I haven't even heard it since last night, so let's hope it's not awful. Here we go. Jack, if you have it queued up, go ahead and play my 3 minutes. It's always hard to see yourself, isn't it? Here we go.
Hello, good evening. My name is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I am a member of the CMH board and was appointed in March and have been attending those meetings faithfully for 9 months now. I am speaking on behalf of Pastor Anthony Farrell. He is the pastor of my church, so I know him actually quite well. But I know him not only from that perspective, I also know him from the fight that our church waged against the data center that was going to go in next door, and next door also to Pine River Elementary. So that was a $500 million project that would have taken up more than 100 times of the power consumed in China Township, all of the homes and businesses combined. And Pastor Anthony, I knew because I actually met with him for counseling when I first moved to this area a number of years ago, and he helped me personally a great deal. But I did not see that side of Pastor Anthony until the data center came. And since that time, which was September 16th of 2024, I have seen, to my astonishment, just amazing things that he has done. We have met with Senator Bill Hardiman from the Office of Faith Engagement. We have met with commissioners. We have been involved with the Office of Faith on the White House level, and are part of a national organization there. I have just seen him stepping up in the intersection between faith and government. And as an academic, I hold a doctorate in psychology from Harvard University. And as an academic, I want to address the concern that was raised about religion and mental health. That is the hot topic. I would urge anyone out there to take a look at what is being done right now in that field. They're finding that religion and mental health not only aren't incompatible, they go together. There is a big conference in March at Harvard where academics from all over the world We'll be gathering to talk about that. There's another one at Duke University in August, 5 days worth of content. So I urge you to take a look at that information. It's very relevant. And as Pastor Anthony pointed out, it is actually required by CMH that that be provided. Currently, there's no one really to provide it. So I want to put in a vote for him. I also want to speak on behalf of Dawn Falk, registered nurse. And regarding the meeting on September 17th, she has never missed a meeting in 2.5 years. She has perfect attendance. And for that meeting, she actually asked Liz King to excuse her because she had a prior very important commitment. And Dr. Stephen Smith's first grandchild was born that day, so he was there with his daughter as she was giving birth. He also otherwise has perfect attendance. Thank you very much.
All right. So the part at the end had to do with someone who got up and misrepresented two members who were being reappointed to the health board, and they both got reappointed. So that's what that was. But as far as the part for Pastor Anthony, I thought long and hard, prayed long and hard. I had an hour and 9 minutes sitting in that room to think about what I was going to say. And I had originally planned to say something completely different, and something that would have been a little bit, I won't even go into it, but the Lord just had me say that. So it was wonderful. I'm so excited that Pastor Anthony, who has been so involved in our community, is now going to back me up on that community mental health board. It has been a challenge being on there for 9 months. I have felt like a voice in the wilderness, and I can't wait. Our next meeting, just so you know, is Tuesday. It's my every Tuesday. What is it? The second Tuesday of the month. I miss this show. There'll be a rebroadcast because I've got to be there at 5 p.m. and my show runs from 4 to 5. So I will be there. He will be there. I'll report back. I'll let you guys know how it goes. But I'm so excited to be joined by him and to be beginning this journey towards launching the Steps to Freedom and Freedom in Christ, which really does show how to tear up those permission slips that you've given, that people, all of us, give to the enemy, that give him the authority to mess with us. Unforgiveness being a big one. The Bible even says, forgive lest you give the devil room. So those are the places in which we have to remove his authority so we can step into Christ's authority and be strong. All right, I'm going to be a guest tonight on a program called Ground Zero from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, if you want to check that out. And got a lot going on this weekend because next week I'm doing a really big radio show too. All right, love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for praying for Pastor Anthony and me. All right, God bless you. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.